Righto, from JMO Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Very good morning, Mike.
Funding for lending, nice idea on a whiteboard, but sort of didn't pan out.
Yeah, yesterday we said see you later. We said hi-ra-rah to the funding for lending program. The last day to draw down was the 6th of December, so we got the final report on what was lent to banks. Now, Mike, the funding for lending program outlived its use-by date by months, mm-hmm. didn't it? And some would argue more. I mean, by their own admission, that is the Reserve Bank, they said it needed to have a flexible end date, and it apparently didn't. It is consigned to history now. So what was the final score? Well, I believe $19.02 billion was advanced to registered banks. And in the investigation or the inspection of how we ended up in this current economic situation, this is one of the elements that simply cannot be ignored. I mean, we, or the Reserve Bank, have been trying to sort of curb demand for some time. And the stated intention of the funding for lending program is, and this is from the Reserve Bank's own website, to lower interest rates and encourage households and businesses to spend and invest. It lowers banks' funding costs, also indirectly lowering the funding cost of non-participants. Now, here's some facts. The Reserve Bank has been raising the cash rate since October 2021. That's over a year ago. Annual CPI inflation rose above 3% in May 2021, and the funding for lending program continued to support lower interest rates right through to December 22. Now, I just think it seems curious, is the word that I would use, that there wasn't a mechanism or even a will to sort of to take this out of play. Because what happens now is that banks will have to compete in the wholesale and retail markets for funding. And in the case of retail, that means term deposits. And if I look at term deposits today, I see that if you look out past 1 year, they're all over 5% now. You can go out and get a TD rate for over 5%. And longer dated wholesale rates are lower than that. In other words, the banks are now paying up and over where the wholesale rates are to attract that TD funding. And we haven't seen that switch around for a while. So it still needs to be talked about, I believe.
Couldn't agree more. Australia, it was a miss, the quarterly figure, but the annual figure looks all right, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's still pretty strong. Australia yesterday released their third quarter GDP figure, so 3 months to the end of September. The Australian economy grew by 0.6% to be 5.9% higher for the 12 months. There are COVID effects in there, which pushes the number up, but a strong result, buoyed by strong consumer spending, higher commodity prices played a part in there as well. The result, you're right, was a little bit low market expectations. That was at 0.7 versus the 0.6 actual and 6.3 versus the 5.9 actual, but it was in line with RBA expectations. Points to note here, Mike, consumption is holding up pretty well, not dissimilar to what's happening here in New Zealand. In other words, interest rates are going up, but people are still out there spending. Now, the RBNZ is forecasting a recession, not the RBA, though. They're looking at 3% over the 2022 year, and then 1.5% for 23 and 24. Mm. So at the moment, a soft landing looking more likely across the Tasman than here.
And we're going to be worried about this because China being locked down, and I know they're changing the rules and stuff, but the import-export numbers don't look good.
No, these are big numbers, yeah. Mike. The China import-export data calls for concern. I think we need to sit up and take note. It's not a trend yet. So this is for November. They shrank, import-export data to China shrank at a much steeper than expected pace in November. So reflecting, you've got weak global Chinese domestic demand, but you've got COVID-induced production disruptions, maybe effective property slump as well. But here's the numbers, Mike. Export down 8.7% in November versus November last year. Expectations were 3.5%. Imports fell 10.7%. If you think of the size of that economy, that's enormous. Expectations, there's 6%. These are the largest falls since sort of the first half of 2020. So we need to see what happens next. But need I remind you again, they are our largest trading partner.
Quite right. What are the numbers?
The Dow Jones has just popped its head above where it closed. The previous note is now up 28 points, 33624. The S&P 500 just sort of 3932, slightly lower on the day. And the NASDAQ down 56 points, about 0.5%, 10,958 at the moment. The FTSE 100, last night it fell 32 points, 0.43%, 7489. More or less 200-point fall on the Nikkei, that's 0.72%, 27686 was the close. The Shanghai Composite fell 13 points, 0.4%, 3199. The Aussies lost 0.85% on the ASX 200 yesterday, closing at 7229. We lost 21 points on the NZX 50. That's 0.18%, 11,610 the close. New Zealand dollar 0.6368 against the US, 0.9469 against the Aussie, 0.6059 euro, 0.5219 against the pound, 86.93 Japanese yen. Gold, a little bit stronger, $1,782.13.
Come on.
Get this, Mike.
Come on.
Red crude,
seven.
Get this.
Seven.
It has $78.01. Yeah. There is the possibility that oil is going to close the year lower than where we started.
Fantastic. If you can give me that for Christmas, mate, I'll give you a kiss.
There you go.
Andrew Kelleher back tomorrow. JMIL, jmiwealth.co.nz.